of everyone on the ground. Thousands of people avoided eviction and kept their homes last year. This year looks very bright. Somewhere around 5,000 people are projected to return to housing. And thousands will seek shelter and a safe place to sleep off the streets. As a person who has experienced homelessness in downtown Portland and other areas, I'm truly grateful and inspired by this news. Without shelter and a safe place to sleep at night, stability in many cases, if not most, is nearly impossible. We must continue to find ways to provide shelter beds so that us as service providers, such as myself, can maintain healthy contact with our participants. Basically, what that means is if we can't find them, we can't help them. And so it's very helpful in the work that I do to be able to have some kind of understanding of where the people are. TPI recognizes, appreciates, and asks that you continue to make the necessary investments towards making sure that we are able to provide flow-through services. This means exiting people from shelter and into housing. This is critical to ending homelessness. Rent assistance and placement support services make this possible.
Thanks. Thank you. Appreciate your testimony. Good evening. It's good to see
Hello.
You.
Hello. My name is Donna Hayes. The last time we talked, we walked down memory lane. I understand your short time in office as mayor. 16 months is not a long time to have your pain and so much suffering come up around you. As my mayor, my heart goes out to you. But as my police commissioner, I hold you in another bracket. As my police commissioner, your job is to hold your public safety personnel accountable, boss.
That's correct.
As commissioner, your job was to ask your public safety personnel, what happened? Don Perkins is alive and Quantus Hayes, a kid, is dead. On the same day, what is your answer? As commissioner, your job was to ask your public safety personnel, what happened with Jesse Brockner, wounded, Chase People, wounded, and what was the difference with Quantus Hayes, dead? What is your answer? As commissioner, your job was to ask your public safety personnel why Sharon Brown is Officer Daryl Shaw's next victim. Why is he around? What is your answer? As commissioner, your job was to ask your public safety personnel why a summary execution was performed on John Ellifrit. What's your answer? As commissioner, your job was to ask the public safety personnel, why did they shoot up exactly not working class, unworking class Laurel Hurst for a man with a BB gun? What is your answer? Before you spend your money on a department that is not performing up to standard, be the police commissioner and ask and get real-time answers and present it to the people with correction. Just maybe the people won't give the mayor such a hard time about money for public safety. We will get a glimmer of accountability and the mayor can sleep at night with confidence that his city and people are safe and running like a well-oiled machine. We already have too many cops and no justice, no answer. Correct the situation involving your cops. What is your answer? If you need that money to correct the police board to follow the DOJ settlement, I say yes. But to hire more idiots, I say no.
Thank you, Donna. Appreciate it. It's good seeing you. Next three, please.
We're also looking for ticket number 114-996-206 and 153-124-088.
Good evening.
Hi. Should I start?
Sure, please. Thank you.
Hi, hello. I used to want to be a city commissioner, and then I've been here for an hour, and I'm like, yikes. So I have a lot of respect for you guys. Thank you for all the work you do.
Yeah.
And thank you for giving me an opportunity to speak. I feel like I have a unique testimony to contribute because I was a teacher at Hillside for 4 years, and immediately prior to that, I was an assistant to the executive director of the Portland Parks Foundation, Linda LaViolette. So I have uncommon insight into the workings of Portland Parks and Rec. I've seen its budget from a macroscopic level. at the foundation, and I've been impacted by it on a microscopic level, working at Hillside directly with young people. And I just wanted to take the brief time that I have with you guys to clear up a few misconceptions about Hillside that I feel are really important. There's a pervasive misconception that Hillside services mostly wealthy and affluent white people. And while it's true that there are some really nice-looking houses in its immediate vicinity, in my experience, Hillside is actually servicing a very diverse population whose needs would not be met elsewhere. Hillside has a long-standing reputation as a community center that understands children with special needs. I'm putting special needs in quotes because the truth of the matter is at Hillside, our core philosophy is that every child has special needs. Our job as educators or instructors is fundamentally about understanding what special needs every child needs in order to truly prosper and grow. And in that spirit, I was first hired at Hillside as an inclusion specialist. An inclusion specialist's job is to assist in a radical new approach to viewing kids with special needs. Instead of isolating or ostracizing them into a separate classroom different from other children, thereby signaling that they are different or unwanted in society, the inclusions program's main objective is to integrate them into mainstream classrooms and fund any extra staff that their needs might require. Hillside, for whatever reason, has been really successful in implementing this program. You've heard from people about this today. And that's why Hillside has the inarguable distinction of being a community center uniquely suited to welcome anybody who's different, neurodivergently or physically. And that's why, as a teacher, I had so many students from all over Portland. Because the truth of the matter is, and this is why I'm here, it needs to be understood and heard that Hillside doesn't just serve the Northwest neighborhood. It is a fact that people bring themselves and their children from all over Portland, all the quadrants, to benefit from the uncommonly inclusive nature of Hillside's programs.
Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Could you give us your name, please?
Oh, Avi Makaya.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate your testimony, especially the very first part. You got that spot on. Good evening.
Good evening, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Jung, and I'm the Education Program Director at Community Alliance of Tenants, also known as CAT. Thank you for having me here tonight. I'm here to represent a lot of tenants that we advocate with and for that aren't able to make it tonight because they have childcare needs, you know, they have jobs that they can't get away from, they have transportation issues that they can't get out here. And so I'm here to ask for continued funding support for our tenant protections team, which is a culturally specific program in partnership with SCI, ERCO, and APANO. And I'm here to share a testimony from a tenant who benefited from our program but wasn't able to make it tonight. And this is her letter. Dear Mayor and Commissioners, for the past year, I was living in the apartment with my three-year-old daughter with mold. The mold damaged our furniture and our clothes. I would verbally talk to the landlord about my issues, and the landlord would say it was my responsibility. Not only did I have the mold, but I had rodents living in the wall, scratching and making horrifying noises. My three-year-old daughter was so afraid that she would always want to stay with her grandma instead. She would always cry, and she didn't want to come into our own home. Finally, the rodents ate a hole through the wall and came into the house, which was very scary and unsanitary. As you know, they carry germs, and my landlord still did nothing. But through the Tenant Protections Team program, I was able to learn how to fight for my tenant rights. They helped me write a letter asking for reduced rental value, which I did get, and was also connected with the Fair Housing Council and a lawyer just in case the landlord did not comply. Thank you for being a champion and supporting this program. Tenant Protections Team helps all the tenants in Portland and gives us a chance to learn how to fight for our rights. I wouldn't have known what my rights were without the Tenant Protections Team program. Please continue to be a champion and support this program with continued stable funding. Thank you. LaShonda Adams.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Thank you. Good evening.
Hi, I'm Anna So, and I'm here representing Care Not Cops. Community and neighborhood safety cannot be achieved with increased policing. This funding must be invested in community programs such as increased housing, transportation initiatives such as Youth Pass, education, and community-derived and user-led services. We demand an immediate reduction in the taxpayer-funded Portland Police Bureau budget, not the proposed increase of $6 million. Portland is currently facing economic and social crises related to social services. While Portland Public Schools has YouthPass in their budget, YouthPass for East Portland School District is currently not included in the budget for the City of Portland for the 2018-19 fiscal year. Based on surveys, the YouthPass helps youth to travel not only to and from school, but also to access mental health support and other services. YouthPass plays an important role in ensuring community wellness. While the PPV currently spends nearly $600,000 per day, the total cost of the YouthPass program at both East Portland School District High Schools, David Douglas and Park Rose, would be just over $610,000 for the entire year to provide free access to public transportation to about 3,900 youth in East Portland school districts. The cost of funding YouthPass for the East Portland School District's high school for the entire school year is just a little more than what the PPV spends in one day. The Portland Police Bureau City Council and you, Mayor Wheeler, show a disregard for solutions that meet the economic, health, and social needs of Portland's communities of color by continuing to press for an increase in the budget for policing. You need to invest in programs that provide vital services like YouthPass for communities in East Portland. If you care about Black and Brown communities, folks with disabilities, houseless folks, and poor communities, you need to reject funding for more police officers and PPV who harass, intimidate, threaten, and kill. You can and must invest these funds in desperately needed life-affirming resources instead. Police will never be adequate or appropriate mental health responders. The budget requests an additional $1.9 million for service coordination and increases both police and clinician positions under the Portland Police Bureau provision of substance use and mental health services. The framework for these services is based on punitive and coercive measures rather than user-centered, voluntary, and supportive services.
No, actually, it isn't.
This funding must be invested directly into community-based services.
Thank you guys for your time and your patience.
Thank you. Next three, please.
All right,
folks,
we're running.
Everybody gets 2 minutes, and I've actually been pretty generous. 2 minutes. I told you right up front, when the light turns red, 2 minutes is up. Yeah. I've been generous. Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Kendall. I use one name.
Thank you.
I'm worried about crime in Portland. The last time I saw you, I gave you a book called The New Jim Crow. I hope you've read it.
I have.
The budget proposal in raising funds for the police department does not seem to me to reflect a reading of that book. So I'd like to just say that the crime that I'm worried about in Portland is systemic crime. Systemic crime is extreme income inequality, mass incarceration, and white supremacy. That is the crime we need to be working on, not this petty stuff. Portland police harass homeless people in their tents, don riot gear for protests, and kill Black children for being out in the streets at night. Instead of hiring more police, please solve the problem of white-collar crime. Support initiatives like the Just Energy Transition that will take 1%, just one, of the profits of the richest corporations to weatherize the homes of the poor, to offer job training and other minority business support, and to diminish the effects of poverty. Who are the criminals that need policing? Corporate CEOs and billionaires have hoarded the wealth of the USA. From 1973 to 2016, U.S. productivity went up 74%. The minimum wage went up 12%. Where did the 60% go? Hoarded wealth is why we don't have health care and mental health care for everyone in America. Hiring more police is blaming the poor, criminalizing the poor. Are police holding CEOs accountable? No. The Portland police serve the Portland Business Alliance and the corporate state. They harass and bully the poor. Half the people killed by police have disabilities. The victims of police violence are disproportionately people of color. In the U.S., there are 40.6 million people living below the poverty line, but the 400 wealthiest Americans hold 64% of the wealth. Please tax the rich and don't harass the poor.
Thank you.
I'll call some more numbers. 189-214-090. 211-219-139. Okay. Anyone wave? If you, that was your ticket. You coming down?
Here comes somebody.
157-220-119. Reread some numbers. 161-158-141-216-210-120.
Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Audrey Grieve. I live in Southeast Portland, and I'm a volunteer with the organization Enlace. I wanted to talk about the demands that we have as a community, and we feel that the only way to stop police violence is to disarm, defund, and dismantle the police. More police trainings, body cameras, or investigations without accountability will not stop police killings nor the everyday violence of policing that is overwhelmingly targeted towards black, brown, and poor communities in Portland. At least four of the officers involved in the shooting of John Elifritz were previously investigated for their extreme use of violence, and in one case, the killing of Keaton Otis in 2010. We demand that an immediate reduction of the taxpayer-funded Portland Police Bureau budget, not the proposed increase of $6.7 million. Last year, the PPB was allocated almost $217 million, and now they're asking for $6 million in addition to that figure. We want this money to go towards protecting youth, protecting black and brown people, and protecting the folks who really do feel insecure whether or not they're in a tunnel that has glass on the ground. There are people who have to sleep in those spaces. There are people who don't have any kind of security, a home to go to, a family to go to. So we ask and demand that you decrease this police funding. We also have the idea that police will never be an adequate or appropriate mental health response. The budget really requests an additional $1.9 million for service coordination and increases in both police and clinician positions under the Portland Police Bureau for provision of substance use and mental health services. The framework for these services is based in punitive and coercive measures rather than user-centered, voluntary, and supportive services. This month's funding must be invested directly into community-based services, not contingent on police interaction.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you for your time.
So just for that seems to be a recurrent theme, and I have followed the service coordination team. It used to be run by the Volunteers of America. It's now run by Central City Concern. It's residential care by licensed medical professionals. So it's not punitive.
That's your opinion.
Well, that's the facts. Good evening.
Hi. Thank you for your time.
Hi, my name is Jane Mock, and I'm president of the Portland Ulsan Sister City Association. And thank you for allowing us to talk to you today. I am here to represent basically nine sister cities in Portland, and we are here to ask that you look at the international relations position within the Office of Government Relations. In the past year, we celebrated our 30th anniversary with Portland Ulsan. And on Sunday, I go to Ulsan to celebrate their 12th anniversary as a Rose Festival. And they are sending a delegation of five to come here in June to celebrate our Rose Festival. We have a really good storied position of 30 years of delegations coming back and forth. In order for us to do the work as a sister city, we rely on that position to be able to do the city-to-city and international government-to-government relationship from interpretation to writing to being able to do the proclamations. So this position is very important to us as a sister city, and we appreciate the work that Cheeto did last year for us for our 30-year anniversary, and then also now Sydney, the new one that's here, is doing a great job. So we just wanted to say we would like you to save that position. It is definitely something that it's our first line of communication to the mayor's office, and they do a phenomenal job. And I also wanted to say thank you for allowing Elizabeth Edwards to go with us last year to celebrate their 30-year anniversary as a metropolitan city. And it was wonderful for her to have that representation of the city of Portland. That was the highest level going to Ulsan in our 30-year representation. So thank you very much.
Great. So can I ask a question while you're here?
Oh, sure.
Because I guess we just lost Andrew Scott. But are you asking us to protect existing funding, or has there been a cut proposed in the budget?
We're asking you to protect that position as the associate director. We call her the associate director of the international relations
position. Is there a proposed cut in the mayor's proposed budget, or you're just asking?
It is our understanding that position could be cut, and it would be critical to the nine sister cities for us to keep that position.
Okay, so when Andrew Scott comes back, we'll ask him the status of that position. Thank
okay.
you.
Thank you.
Great, thank you. And thanks for your hard work.
Thank you.
On behalf of the sister cities, thank you. Can I just get a show of hands? How many people have signed up who haven't spoken yet, just so we can get a... So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Thank you. Very good. So about 16-ish. Very good. Good evening.
Sorry. Good evening. Hello, I am Kalandra Anderson, and I am representing Lent's Youth Initiative. I'm here to speak about the continuous struggle and fight that me and my fellow youth have had to endure for years. As a youth that lives in low income and does not have a car, I am dependent on youth pass that I am given, and I am in constant stress that one day I will be unable to go to a job that decides whether or not I pay my rent. I am in constant stress that one day I will not be able to attend school just because a youth pass is not given to me and decide my future for the rest of my life. My youth pass is the deciding factor of whether I get to school, my job, the hospital, or anywhere I need to go. But instead, I am wasting my youth worrying about whether or not I can get to school and the opportunity that I am given to go to school for free, but I need to pay for my access to get there. So I ask, instead of wasting our limited budget on something like policing youth that we don't need or extra wasted budget that we don't need on youth that you police constantly already, I ask, can you pay for something that I actually need to get to school and to get anywhere that I need to get at all? That's it.
Thank you.
I have a question. So did you just start getting the youth pass this year?
My school, I have actually not been. So my middle school did not have youth passes. I had to pay to ride TriMet myself to get to my middle school. And when I got into high school, I did have youth pass, but it's only been for 2 years.
And which school do you go to?
I go to Benson right now, but I've transferred schools.
Ah, yes. Right.
And the only way you could get a youth pass is if you went through an extenuous process of filling out paper and registering yourself as someone who gets free and reduced lunch.
Right.
So, yes.
Thank you for explaining. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Appreciate your being here. Good evening.
Good evening, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm here on behalf of East Portland Neighborhood Office. And the reason why I'm testifying on their behalf is this reason. Mayor, when you have... layers of barriers, success is very difficult. When language is a barrier, limited information is a barrier, your skin is a barrier to you, and your country of origin and your name and everything, success is very difficult. But that doesn't mean that the hope is over. So what we did as a community, my name is Muhammad Ali, I am from Somali community, I live in Southeast Poland. On 14th and 15th last year, we just get organized and conducted leadership and civic engagement and community health education because those were our priorities. The reason why we did that is because there are so many refugees and immigrants who live here and legally came to this country but unable to get to pass the immigration test and have been here for like 7 years and did not even get passport because it's very difficult. The language is a big problem. We have so many people who are here citizens but are not voting because they don't really understand the importance of voting. So we thought it's very important for us to educate community, to reach out and sensitize. So that is what we have been doing. Health education, we are talking about mental health. We have refugees who have lived in Kenya or other places 10 years or 10 plus years. With that, trauma came here. Now the system is very difficult. If you go to social security office, you have to brace computers. It's very difficult. So all those, while we have many problems, we have unique problems, and each community is different. And so... to just help our community educate on stigma about mental health and to avoid people going to emergency unnecessary. What we are doing was just reach out to community and educate them on the importance of exercise. If they feel sick, if their loved one is having mental issues, you don't have to shy it. Just go to the hospital, talk to the doctor. Those are our area important. The reason why I'm asking EPUB to be supported, they give us a grant to help us reach those programs. And I'm asking if they can be supported with 980,000 with their current program, so that at least they can reach out and help more communities to deliver the program. That will be very helpful.
Thank you. Appreciate your testimony.
Thanks.
Good evening.
Good evening, Mayor and Commissioners. Thanks for the opportunity. I'm here to strongly support the proposed increase in funding for the ONI Graffiti Abatement Program. Despite a tiny staff and a relatively small budget, the program has been a success. It gleans data from the PDX Reporter app, which has been very effective, and it also works with citizen volunteer organizations and private sector businesses, such as graffiti removal services that has gotten some good press recently. But we need to do more. Graffiti continues to be a problem, and it continues to increase in our city with devastating downstream effects, which I won't go into detail about here. We do need to get ahead of the problem in order to assure the prosperity, safety, livability of our beloved and beautiful city. My hope is that increased resources will not simply lead to more staffing. We can do a better job of coordinating volunteer efforts across the city. Richmond Tag Busters out of the Richmond Neighborhood Association is a great example, and they can serve as a model for all neighborhood associations to show up and volunteer to abate graffiti. Finally, enforcement of existing ordinances that require property owners to take care of graffiti on their own property should be prioritized. So in conclusion, I urge you to vote in favor of the additional resources for the Graffiti Abatement Program. It's done a good job, and it can do a much better job with increased resources. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Could you give us your name, please?
Sorry. Oh, I'm Pat Brunette, live and work in Portland.
And I'm just curious, what is it that makes you so passionate about? Because you came to the previous budget forum. What is it that about graffiti that makes you so concerned?
Well, aside from the negative effects, which include decreased livability, negative impacts on tourism, negative effects on business activities, I think it strikes at the heart and soul of our city. And in the same way, we don't want to allow people to live in bad conditions and tolerate homelessness. Okay. I think we should not tolerate graffiti that making our city less livable and actually creates a negative image across the country and across the world.
Okay.
I heard a great quote that the difference between art and graffiti is permission.
Marsha Dennis. Marsha Dennis created that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I'd like a chance to respond as
Commissioner Udaly.
Commissioner usually in charge of graffiti abatement, although that privilege goes to the mayor right now. We are not increasing staff. I haven't requested an increase in staff. We've been using our funding more efficiently with the way that we contract with abatement companies. And we actually do mobilize a substantial amount of volunteers across the city through our neighborhood coalitions and neighborhood associations. I'm a former small business owner. I've spent a few thousand dollars probably removing graffiti from my own business. So I certainly sympathize with the impact on small business owners and property owners. But I would argue with your definition of graffiti personally, and I'm also committed to the city having a pretty enlightened policy when it comes to street art. So we're also looking at expanding opportunities for murals, possibly graffiti walls, which, you know, are not going to appeal to everyone, since part of the thrill of graffiti is the fact that it's against the law. But thank you, and we're not cutting the budget. I don't need a response. Okay.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
I've been asked to identify who up in the balcony would still like to testify. We need raised hands. I can't see. Can someone confirm?
So you've got on this side 1, 2, three.
Okay, we have enough room down here. You want to come on down?
Four. Good evening.
Go ahead. Hello, good evening, Mayor and Commissioner. My name is Kenesha Overstreet. I am a 9-year law enforcement veteran, and I understand the police budget. I am a small business owner, a consulting business owner. I currently work with one of the assistant U.S. attorneys here in Portland because my passion is consulting with the correctional facilities. With having 9 years of law enforcement experience. I also have a plan for the city of Portland for the police. From where I came from, it's very effective, and I have the statistics. Once I'm at the table, I will be more than welcome to share all of my potatoes.
That'd be great.
But at this point right now, I know it's hard for civilians to understand from a law enforcement standpoint what we go through and what we see, whether you're in the jail or whether you're on the street. Mental health needs to go through the counties, not the police budget, because we are not trained to be mental health. We are trained to assess and respond at what's in front of us. So holding the counties as responsible and using their budget to establish mental health, I think that's where it's at. And that's where it should be. But I am open to sitting with you all, with my small business, consulting with DOJ. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Commissioner Daly, do you have a comment? No. Very good. Thank you for being here. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Addison Bates, and I work in outreach for an education organization in Northeast Portland. I was on my way home the night of John Andrew Elfritt's death. I got out because I saw about 8 cop cars. When I asked a man on the street near the scene what happened, he told me he was in the room where that man was killed. His words were that the man, John, had cut himself in the neck and was stumbling towards the officers when they tear gassed him, shot rubber bullets, and then finally shot him. The cop I talked to, who was one of the 12 cop witnesses, told me that they had tried everything to de-escalate with the rubber bullets and tear gas, and at that point, there were no other options. I asked him about disarming the man, considering he was disoriented by the tear gas, the rubber bullets, and bleeding out of his neck. He said the officers were scared for their lives. He agreed that what happened was really sad, but echoed what Ted Wheeler said earlier this evening. Society had already failed him. We should not be increasing the money for more armed officers. We should be using all extra money to create infrastructure to support our community feeling like they have to call 911 less. If your daughter was going through... Oh, this is separate. Okay. If your daughter was going through a mental health crisis and was robbed of all of her money and was living in her own urine, would you want her to be persecuted, or would you want them to be provided support and love while they survive some of the hardest moments of their lives? On a separate note, considering that many of those who live in East County used to live near the river but were moved out, the youth that is over there should not face any more funding cuts. They have been displaced, and now in the homes that they've been forced to will not have the basic mobility to continue to visit family and places where their history resides. With regards to schools being able to pay for the bus passes, I was calling East Portland schools in the Gresham-San Barlow district today to invite them to attend a free middle school summit for underprivileged youth, and they told me that they did not have the money to transport one bus full of kids to a free summit.
Thank you. Good evening.
Hey, my name is Hen Desavi. I'm a community member. Police don't protect anyone. By their nature, they are reactive and not proactive. They don't prevent crime with housing, respect, mental health care, education, but instead brutalize, criminalize, and imprison the poor, people of color, and people of other marginalized identities. Many communities are already doing the work to keep themselves safe, oftentimes keep themselves safe from the police. I've seen this time and time and time again. They're not being funded. They're not giving the resources, but they're still doing that work, and we need to put the money there. And I'm not saying that police are bad people, but I am saying that there are no good police. It's because the purpose of the police is to be the militarized arm of the state, the continued settler colony. And the federal 1033 program funnels billions of dollars in military-grade weapons into police all across the country, which the Portland police themselves repeatedly use on its citizens, shock bang shock bang grenades, guns used on citizens' murders, even just a few weeks, a month ago or something. And the Portland government mandates that people in prison, this is actually an Oregon state law, but mandates that people in prison, which are overwhelmingly disproportionately black and indigenous, have their labor exploited. They're forced to work for very little pay. And one of these functions is for imprisoned people to be used, to be exploited, to displace unhoused communities. This is a practice I've actually come and talked to your officials about repeatedly. And a couple of your officials called it slavery, and I quote, not a necessary evil, but a convenient evil. And this is the function of white supremacy in the United States, and this is something that the Portland government is a part of. You need to work to change this by disarming the police, decreasing the police, and dismantling the police, as well as prisons. The council's solution is more police, which puts you on the same side with neo-Nazis, the Trump campaign, and everyone who I believe you don't want to be associated with. The neoliberal argument is that with better training, it would be better, but actually, that's the whole good cop, bad cop argument. I can stop right now, but... Basically, the purpose of the police will continue to be oppressive, and so even if you are a good person, your job will require you to oppress people. And so regardless of better training, the force of and purpose of the police is oppressive. So,
thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks, all three of you.
Thank you.
Good evening. Thank you for your patience.
We'd like to thank you, Mayor, Council, and Commissioner. My name is Vai Tautua, a secretary for the Tonga community. And I'm here to support the East Portland Neighborhood Office. The Tongan community are growing now in state of Oregon. Most of the Tongan are moved to the northeast, to the East Portland. Sorry. Our Tongan community are very talented people. For women, they did sewing, quilt, and sell to earn money. But we have no space, and then we need help with the place so we can use it. The men, the Tongan men community, they are very hardworking doing construction, and they need help with trying to get license. And our youth, their talent, are doing rugby, football. And right now, they're almost a winner in every state, and which is we're proud of, they are from state of Oregon. But because of East Portland Neighborhood Office, they are there. They support us. We fund. But sometimes it's not enough, but we're just thankful for anything that they gave us to help our community. This is our third year a Tongan Day. And then we getting to increase, and then we ask them for help, which we success, they help us, but it's not really enough. Please do not cut their fund. We need more fund for them to help us.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you for your testimony. Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you, Mayor, Commissioners, for the opportunity for us to be here today, to be able to talk and see you guys face to face. It's a blessing for me to be here today. I'm with, my name is Lasipe Makasini. I'm from the Tongan community too. We are here, just like she mentioned, to support the East Portland neighborhood office. So that's all. We are asking if you guys could help, you know, funding them for more money to help our community, and maybe they might hire me someday, hopefully. But we are growing, and we need help, especially we are moving from North Portland, and you know, we used to live there and northeast to the east side. So, and we are growing, and we just need help to fund some of the program that we ask for help to help us with our needs in our community to be better, to be a better community, to help Oregon grow.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks for your testimony. Good evening.
Yes. Good evening, Mr. Mayor, Commissioner. My name is Colini Fujitoa. I'm from the Tonga community. I am also a cell community engagement liaison for the Tonga community. So happy to be here. As you notice, we have two aunties, two mothers from our community voicing their support with East Portland Neighborhood Office. It's because East Portland Neighborhood Office is the one that's helping us. They're the one coming to us. It's not, we didn't look for them. They looked for us and found us, and they gave us resources and help us along the way and how to get the grant and so forth. Vai mentioned that we have a Tongate. That's part of the support from East Portland Neighborhood Office, and we support and we urge you to continue funding for that office. Also, we want to voice our support from the Tongan community for Portland Parks and Rec Community Garden Program. That's helping us a lot because we come from an island where we grow what we consume, and here we go and buy processed food and so forth. Just give us opportunity to have multi-generation working together and building family bonding and so forth on the weekend. Also, we are from a underrepresented, underserved community of color, and we are here to support the Portland Police, continue funding for the police. We have had a community gathering with the police for 3 years, and that has brought new light to us to see what they're doing, what they're struggling with lack of funding. So we are here to support Portland Police as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, all three of you, for your testimony. Good evening.
Good evening. I have what I'm going to say on my phone.
So. Sure.
My name is John. I'm an organizer with Oregon Recovers, not representing them, though. I've been in recovery for 11-plus years. I'm a former addictions counselor and recovery peer mentor. I've worked with hundreds and interacted with thousands of addicts, clean and not clean. I have personal experience with addiction and understand the struggles that come with that. Locking me up over and over again didn't get me clean. Treatment services in a loving recovery community did. A study a few years back showed, I believe it was about a decade ago, showed that substance abuse costs Oregonians almost $6 billion a year. Most crimes are tied to untreated addiction and many others due to untreated mental illness and lack of basic needs. You say you know we need to address the root causes of these problems, but more police directly contradicts that statement. Many studies have shown that more patrolling does not decrease crime. We need to look at why the police are overworked instead of just spending more money on police that wouldn't actually make our community safer. They shouldn't be dealing with individuals and mental health crisis. They shouldn't be dealing with the houseless. They shouldn't be dealing with protecting property, like being security for the Apple Store. The police need to be working when they are on the clock, and they should be held accountable when they aren't. The police culture and their code of silence must be broken. More police won't do that. I was just at a peaceful anti-war protest where, again, their time and our money was wasted on suiting them up in riot gear and sending them out. Police are not the answer to our problems. We need actual solutions. We live in a state that have some of the worst access to addictions and mental health treatment, actually rated last in the last few years, some of the highest adolescent substance abuse rates, a failing foster care system, and we are far from leaders in solving the problem of poverty, income inequality, homelessness, and mass incarceration. John Elifritz, which was just killed recently by the police, was actually in recovery for approximately a year. He had relapsed shortly before this, before his mental breakdown that ended in his killing by Portland police. I've dealt with people in psychosis by myself, unarmed, a few times, and never did I feel like I needed to call the police. There was actually a situation where I witnessed a black man throwing a woman around on the streets, and I felt like I couldn't call the police. I had to deal with it myself because I didn't want them to show up and kill the guy. So, cops don't make me feel safe. I don't believe they're going to create safety. So we need to start addressing these problems, the actual problems, not throwing police on it.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening. Mayor Wheeler and council members, appreciate the opportunity. My name is Jim Etzel. I'm a resident of North Portland and the CEO of the Oregon Sports Authority. We're a nonprofit that brings sports events and so forth to our community to enhance the economic benefit for our community. We also do a lot of work with underserved youth and operate programs throughout the state to get kids physically active, which is a critical thing for the future of our youngest generation. We're proud to serve the city as a partner. We appreciate your support of and how you acknowledge and embrace the importance of sports tourism to our community. Public safety is an essential element for the visitor experience, not just around sports events, but for all tourism. And there's concerns that we have heard around recent events over the last couple of years. Most recently, we hosted the 2018 U.S. Synchronized World Figure Skating Championships. There was over 2,000 skaters that came from around the country, along with family, friends, coaches, support staff. Throughout the 5 days that they were here, we heard numerous concerns about how they felt in downtown Portland in February. Just safety and operating and moving around the city. The event itself was a huge success. U.S. Figure Skating acknowledged it was the best championship they've had in 35 years in Portland, and the community was a great host, but there was this underlying concern about safety in our community. Portland Police, they serve critical roles around all our public events, not just NCAA basketball tournaments or MLS All-Star or World Indoor Track and Field Championships, but all of our running, cycling, and other community events. And they're a critical piece to the success of those. And those, all those events create significant economic and charitable impact for our community. So we see it as a very important piece. We recognize that hiring additional officers is simply one component, and it's of a comprehensive safety plan. But in our view, it is an essential one. We appreciate all your support and leadership on this issue.
Thank you. Appreciate your testimony. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Molly Campbell. I am a nurse and a PhD student at Oregon Health and Science University. And today I speak on behalf of OHSU Students Against Gun Violence. The views of our group do not reflect those of the institution of OHSU. As future healthcare professionals, we oppose the proposed Portland Police Bureau's budget increase. Instead, we support investment in community building and life-affirming projects like affordable housing, support for our communities of color, and funding for mental health crisis outreach workers that is not funneled through the police bureau. We see two major issues with the increased police funding at the expense of other investments. First, the Portland Police disproportionately target our communities of color. If we increase the number of armed police in our communities, we will increase police violence against people of color. Second, Portland Police are inappropriate as first responders to our community members experiencing a mental health crisis. An armed police presence results in excessive use of force on people with mental illness, as evidenced by the recent murder of John Eli Fritz. The 2012 Department of Justice report found that the Portland Police Bureau engages in a pattern and practice of using excessive force on individuals with actual or perceived mental illness, demonstrating the systemic nature of this problem. As future healthcare professionals, we are committed to the fundamental principle, first, do no harm. We believe that increasing the police presence in our communities will result in increased harm. we respectfully request that the Portland City Commissioners and our Mayor Ted Wheeler join us in our commitment to the principle of do no harm by investing our city dollars into life-affirming and community-building city projects.
Thank you. Appreciate all three of you. All four in this case. This is the last panel. Very good. Thank you. You get the last word. Oh, sorry. You get the second to the last word.
And if there's anybody else who is hoping to speak and hasn't yet, please come and identify yourselves to the budget people.
Good evening.
Good evening. My name's Gail Hoffnagel. I'm the Vice President of SMILE and the Chair of the Friends of Selwood Community Center. I'm here to thank you. I think it's wonderful that you put the community centers back in the budget. I know that this isn't the end of the conversation, but just the beginning of the conversation. But I'm thankful that finally we're going to have the conversation. I think the Park Bureau is at a crossroads where we can make some exciting inroads. I know that you're going to start a national search for a new director. And as a former Park Bureau employee back when the dinosaurs roamed the earth, the Park Bureau used to be, the top people in management used to be recreation people. And over the years, it's switched so that it's become more park and planning people. And I'm hoping that in your search that you will look for someone who understands the value of public recreation, because I think that voice is sort of being lost as time goes on, partly because I know that there is a huge need for parks, open spaces, recreation facilities, and it seems like it would be logical to have someone come in that knows funding source, you know, funding, all that kind of stuff. But the heart of the Portland Park Bureau really is the recreation program, and I think that part has been it's not being heard. But tonight you heard it over and over again when people were saying we need the community center, because at the very basis of it, people are looking for connection, and being able to connect with other people in your community really solves a lot of problems, and it helps people to solve problems with other people are having within their community. So I'm not going to use my whole 2 minutes, but I'm very thankful, and I hope that you will keep the friends of community centers involved in this new process that you're going to have. Thank you so much.
So you couldn't see, but behind you, your comments about community connections and having that space and those opportunities was very, very well received.
Lots of thumbs up.
Yeah.
And I would have done it too.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much. That was lovely.
Good evening.
Hello. Hi. My name is Mikael Johannes, and I, for the past year, have been volunteering at a local prison, Columbia River Correctional Institute. And there I saw personally the impact that the lack of investment in education, affordable housing, and mental health care has had on underserved communities and has pushed many people into the criminal justice system. So we don't get to hear the voices of incarcerated people, so I'm here to read a statement from someone who's going to be back in the community to his family very soon. Start there. Why spend money on more police when the police we have are out of control? For example, the recent killing of a man inside the City Team homeless shelter. Why not spend the money in efforts to help and better understand our community instead of working towards incarcerating it? The funds could be better used towards helping the homeless, people with mental health and drug addiction issues. They could also be used to train the current officers how to better deal with Portland residents who may be experiencing housing issues, drug addiction, or mental health issues, as well as non-lethal methods of policing instead of being so quick to shoot people or quick to hire another cop. In my experience, if I had help to deal with my homelessness and drug addiction in a more permanent way, then I would feel that I would be well on my way to being a productive member of society and contributing something positive to my community, not wasting me and my family's time in prison. It makes me sick to my stomach to think of money going towards more police instead of towards truly helping the people of Portland. Let's help the people of Portland, not police them.
Thank you. Good
thank
evening.
You. Thank you for speaking for somebody who can't speak for themselves and for volunteering. I appreciate it.
Well, that. He can speak for himself, but we're just not listening.
Well, you were here to voice his what he was not, since he was not able to be here. Thank you.
Council, my name is Maya Rinta. I'm here on behalf of the National Lawyers Guild Portland chapter and the Lewis and Clark Law School student chapter. We stand in support of the Care Not Cops, Mental Health Care Not Policing campaign and urge City Council to reject the fiscal year 18-19 Portland police budget as proposed. This budget represents the further criminalization of unhoused people in the name of livability, the implementation of a restyled broken windows model of community policing, which disproportionately targets poor communities, Black communities, and other communities of color. This budget also represents a dangerous increased investment in the failed practice of using police to respond to people experiencing mental health crises. The additional funds for enhancing the police response to mental health crises, which is a practice that has been proven not only to be inadequate and inappropriate, but also inhumane. This further investment in funds is particularly unconscionable in light of the recent police killing of John Elefrantz, as you've heard tonight, inside of a shelter. There's no indication that further funds for police would improve the situation, and a recent review of the police bureau found no difference in arrests between officers with or without the enhanced crisis intervention training. Furthermore, the Mental Health Association of Portland found that the average number of police shootings has stayed the same or increased since the Department of Justice settlement agreement. We support the Care Not Cops campaign call to decouple mental health crisis response from policing and instead invest in life-affirming responses and resources, including mental health services, health care, and funding for individuals and organizations already doing the work and that have existing relationship with targeted and vulnerable populations. A budget is a moral document. Rather than adding 49 sworn officers and providing an additional $6 million in this budget, we call on City Council to reject the proposed budget and instead divert these resources and invest them into the things that truly keep us safe. Thank you.
Thank you. We have one more person, one more group. Very good. And then we're done. Thank you. The list is closed. Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening, commissioners, mayor. I wasn't originally planning to speak this evening, but I wanted to introduce one issue that we haven't heard from tonight, and that is the issue of fully funding and implementing the policy recommendations from the Sanctuary City Task Force. We know that this administration, the Trump administration, will do anything that it can to deport and criminalize and marginalize undocumented people in this country. We know that they are doing everything that they can to end the DACA program as well as the TPS program, which provides protection for people from many countries around the world, not only from Latin American countries, but also from countries like Nepal, Haiti, and countries in Africa. We know that these are some of the most vulnerable members of our community, as well as some of the most hardworking members of our community. And if this city wants to be serious about calling itself a sanctuary city, then we must do everything in our power, including in this budget, to protect those members of our community and make them feel truly included.
So, Commissioner Udaly, would you like to speak a little bit about the program that is funded
sure.
at a $500,000 level in the proposed budget?
Thank you for that testimony. The two main...
So I have a little bit in addition. And I thank you for your support, and I would encourage you to go back to the original recommendations from the task force, which... include quite some additional features. But I also wanted to say that the other day I was standing with other members of the community in front of the ICE building on McAdam Street as a father in the community, Jose, had been picked up that morning. Now, how did ICE target him? A couple of days before, he had been arrested by the Portland Police Bureau. And a couple of days later, federal ICE agents who are not supposed to be having the cooperation of the Portland Police Bureau, showed up at his home to detain him and ultimately ship him off to the Northwest Tacoma Detention Facility. So in addition to budgeting for full legal protection for immigrants in this city, we also need to make absolutely sure that Every city bureau is complying with the sanctuary city policy, as well as assigned staff to look into how to provide additional teeth and enforcement into those policies to make sure that this city is not cooperating with federal law enforcement on immigration issues, and that includes withdrawing from the Joint Terrorism Task Force. Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Oh, wait, excuse me. Can we-